The Bible says that an unmarried Christian can be concerned about the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But what does this look like in real life? Join me for today's edition of Fruitful Single. So my guest today is Melissa Smith. Melissa has been serving Christ internationally since she graduated from college. Right now, she's back in the States for additional linguistics training. Melissa, why do you enjoy living abroad?
I enjoy other cultures and learning languages, which has brought me, you know, to the point now of studying linguistics and wanting that to basically be the career that I've chosen. And being from the Bible Belt, it's sometimes refreshing to be overseas. And for things not to be steeped in cultural Christianity, and for the Christians and the believers in the places where I go to be genuine and for it to cost them things.
Did you experience fear? And if so, what helped you get through that?
There's always a bit of, I guess, fear or anxiety, just the unknown. After college, when I first moved overseas, I had an email that gave me instructions that I was flying in to an international airport, and I was to gather my bags, go to the bus station, get on a particular bus, and then I needed to go through customs into another country. You know, be sure you don't lose your sticker, because that's how you get back on the right bus after you've gone through immigration and customs into the country. And then half an hour in, you'll be at the city, they'll drop you off at a hotel, here's my phone number, and you can call me. Just borrow someone's cell phone. And so that was kind of my initiation into living overseas. And I think as a 22 or 23-year-old, I didn't have nearly as much fear as I'm sure my parents did when they left me at the airport here and knew that that was what that was the extent of my instructions. And I didn't speak any of the language in the country where I was going. So I guess maybe baptism by fire is a kind way to get over fear, because you just don't have a choice. Yeah, and in other ways, so when I was serving in Peru, I was there, I was with some friends, and we had gone like on vacation for a weekend to some of the jungle areas. And as we were leaving one of the touristy locations, we actually were robbed at gunpoint, and these two guys came out of the jungle and, you know, made us get out of our vehicle. We were lying on the ground and they were taking all of our things. And so that really marked me, has marked me since then, because of the peace that I had from the Lord in that situation. That really isn't, it's not explainable in any way other than just the kindness of the Lord and the Holy Spirit giving peace. And two of the people I was with were believers and the others weren't. And just having that experience and realizing that I am completely secure, whether that was the end of my life that day or not, but then realizing there are two people who are with me that I consider friends who are not okay. And if this turns out poorly and we die, then that's the end of the opportunities for the gospel.
How do you decide which activities, which job opportunities, which relationships are worth investing your time in?
So really the choices are like intentional relationships. So like I meet with a younger woman in my church for a time of discipleship each week, right? And so the choice to do that means that I don't have, you know, 2 hours of free time during the week that I would otherwise have. But that choice is, you know, just for the sake of the gospel, and I really feel that there's not another choice, right? Like, we're not called to just enjoy the comfort of this world or the luxury that we have here in the States.
How do you cultivate strong, deep relationships with other believers? Because, you know, when, as single people, we can, if we're not intentional, just kind of skim with a bunch of superficial relationships and not really know anyone deeply.
Yeah, that's a really great question, actually, that I thought a lot about this last year. So as I found myself in a new community as I was beginning my studies this year, I where I landed just naturally in a community was a place where everyone assumed, and everyone was a believer, but with the assumption that everyone is fine in their walk with the Lord, and we're kind of all in this together. We are all kind of focused on the same thing. And with that assumption, then no one was asking anyone hard questions, and no one was really even asking, like, hey, what are you reading in the Bible today? Like, what is the Lord teaching you today or this week, this month? You know, what's happening spiritually in your life? How can I pray for you? How can I help you? And how can you help me? I think it really comes down to us being willing to ask what feels like awkward, intrusive questions sometimes, and not to every person that we meet. But when you have a group of friends, whether they're in your church or just like a group of believing friends, being willing to be the first person to say, hey, what have you read today? Like, what is the Lord doing? And that feels really odd when most of your conversations are really just surface level and not any deeper than they would be with non-believing people. You're just talking about the weather. You're talking about the latest movie. You're talking about whatever you did. But being willing to ask a question and push someone else deeper, I've found that many people respond in kind because they actually want to have those deep conversations as well and need accountability and want accountability, but we don't want to intrude upon those who are around us, and so we don't ask. Yeah, so sometimes just being willing to be the awkward person that asks those questions that we actually all should be asking and just don't.
Have you had matchmakers try to hook you up with some great guy? And if so, how do you handle that?
Yeah. No, not so much, which is the funny part of life. Mostly older ladies in my church, you know, ask, oh, when are you going to get married? Or they talk about, oh, one of them even said, well, if you would just stay still and in one place long enough, and the Lord just might bring someone to you. And my response was, yeah, and then he'll want to continue staying here. And I don't want to stay here, and I'm going back overseas. So that's terrible advice, because that's not who I intend to find. No one really sets me up, and no one really tries to ask me out. And really, I see it now as it's the sovereignty and the kindness mm-hmm. and the grace of the Lord.
Amen.
In hindsight, you know, if someone... yeah, had pursued me, I would have said yes, because I very much wanted to be married, wanted to have a family, and so I would not have had the discernment that I needed to seek the Lord and to see if it was His will, because it would have just been my will to be married and to have the opportunity to have a family.
So let's say that there's like a 25-year-old Christian woman listening that... she's met a godly young man. She thinks he might be interested in her, but she's wondering, you know, whether she should kind of let this relationship not go any deeper so she can remain unmarried and use her singleness for the Lord. What advice would you give her?
So in your question, in your scenario, you said, you know, the woman thinks that he might be interested. And so my response to that is, unless he has actually made his intentions known and is actually interested in you and has made that completely apparent, then you need to serve the Lord and not be concerned about it. And, you know, to single men, I would say, if there's some girl that you are maybe interested in, you need to actually tell her and not have it be some ambiguous thing. Maybe it is and maybe it isn't, because that is not helpful for any of us.
Good advice.
Yeah, so I would just encourage her to seek godly counsel from the people around her that know her well, and from people who don't prize marriage as the end all be all of life, because that's a real struggle in the church here in America too. You know, how many times have we all been told, well, you know, the Lord just doesn't have you married yet, and that's really unhelpful, because the Lord may intend for us to never be married. And that is just as good as if the Lord intends for us to be married.
Good advice. Any noteworthy decisions that you would make differently if you could do it over again?
One might be that when I was in college, I didn't get plugged into a local church to have fellowship there. And I see now the value of the local church, regardless of your stage of life. But yeah, especially in college when you've moved away from where your home was and your home base is, like, it really is important to get plugged in and to have sound teaching and to have that community of believers that's close enough and that knows you so that you can be walking together and so that they can have the opportunity to speak into your life.
Married people can slip into finding their identity in their spouse or their children. And as single people, we can slip into finding our identity in our work for God. How do you keep your identity rooted in Christ rather than in what you do for him?
It's also a really great question. So I've been studying this year. The year previous to that, I was actually living with my older brother and nannying his children before beginning my studies. So I was in a new city at a church, and I was not the girl who was living overseas and serving in ministry. I was really, for the first time, I was a normal person in the church. And that experience really revealed in my heart that I had found my identity in being the woman who lived overseas and was willing to give up life in the States. The sacrifice of living overseas marked me as a person in the eyes of people back home in ways that I didn't realize affected my identity and who I thought I was. So that year was just really, the Lord used it to strip away that false identity and teach me that your identity is not in being someone who has sacrificed and gone overseas. Like, that's not it. Because right now that's not who you are. And it's really not who you ever have been, even though that was what I was doing. That my pursuit of God is what defines me rather than the way other people perceive my pursuit of God. Because it's easy for others from back home to say, wow, she went overseas. Wow, she is such a strong believer. Wow, she is really giving up all because she loves God. And they're far away and they don't see whether or not I'm memorizing scripture in order to have truth in my mind and in my heart every day. And they don't see how much I'm seeking the Lord in prayer for strength and for wisdom and for discernment every day. And they don't see whether or not I'm studying the Word of God to know the truth. And they don't see how I'm actually interacting with the people around me, whether they're unbelievers, and giving testimony of the gospel to them, hoping that the Lord will use that to open their eyes and bring them out of darkness, or interacting with fellow believers to use the word to encourage them in their walk and to encourage them to seek the Lord and to trust in him in all things. So it's easy to let what others believe about my walk with the Lord and how I'm living life make me feel like I'm okay and that I'm really walking closely with the Lord. But that is often not the truth, because they're removed from my everyday, or they have this perception that's based on me 5 years ago when I was interacting with them, that's not necessarily true today. And it's really easy to hold on to, I guess, like, good times that feel like you were close to the Lord, and then believe that that's carrying on into today, and to not evaluate where my heart affections are and say, no, am I like seeking the Lord, and am I satisfied in the hope that I have in him?
If you have any questions or comments for Melissa, you can write me and I would be happy to forward your messages on to her. My email address is daniel@fruitfulsingle.com. You can also write me if you have any questions or comments for me, or know somebody else I should interview. Again, my email address is daniel@fruitfulsingle.com. If you'd like to apply for the Missions Travel Scholarship or hear past episodes, you can do that at fruitfulsingle.com. Until next time, may Jesus bless you with fruitfulness, And remember, don't waste your singleness, because the Lamb's wedding is coming soon.